Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this Sunday, the 15th Sunday after Trinity, comes from the gospel lesson just read in Matthew chapter 6. You cannot serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. Thus says the Lord our God. But yet I have observed that there are many who seemed convinced that they can. And the reality is that it's a very difficult place to be when you get down to it, when what you think and believe to be true comes in conflict with what the divine word himself has to say. Because Jesus does not say that it is inadvisable to have two masters. He doesn't say that it's going to be tough to serve two masters. The Lord God clearly states, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. And so it is, as we are given these words to consider, that it's important for us to know what a God is, and also what the definition is of mammon. God, or what does it mean to have a God, is a question that was asked and answered in this way. A God means that from which we expect all good, and to which we are to take refuge in all distress, so that to have a God is nothing else than to trust and believe him from the whole heart, as I have often said that the confidence and faith of the heart alone make both God and an idol. What we understand from this is that our hearts, while given to understand and comprehend the very words of God, to receive the very gifts that he has given, that our hearts are also the place from where all sorts of false belief springs forth. And so knowing what having a God looks like, we would do well to know what mammon is. The text, as the vicar had read today, says money. But the word that's actually given to us in the Greek text is mammon. Mammon is sometimes referred to as money, but the word really means more than that. And as a matter of fact, Jesus is the only one in the New Testament who uses this word. And he uses the word mammon to refer to material goods in which people put their trust. Mammon, then, could be ideas, thoughts, any number of material goods. Mammon could be power or riches or influence, or worse yet, you could be considered mammon. For there are often times where you place trust in yourself. A God is that which we put all of our hope and trust in, and mammon is also something that we place our trust in. But we must understand what it is that our Lord is presenting for us today. He is saying and revealing the difference between what the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit requires and what mammon and false gods require, and what each one gives. To be sure, any God requires full devotion, for a God is that which we place our full trust in. Both the triune God and mammon require full devotion. That's why our Lord says you cannot serve God and mammon. Both are jealous gods. And Jesus reminds us today that we cannot serve both. But what do each one of these gods give? To be sure, each god promises something. Yet only one of these gods can give what it promises and what it requires. What is the traveling missionary saying? Simply this. The triune God and mammon require full devotion, full obedience, and full adherence, but only the triune God actually provides you and I with that which he requires. Mammon, on the other hand, will only provide for you and I something that is temporal and fleeting. Mammon will indeed give you desire, the desire for more. And ultimately, that God of Mammon will require full payment and atonement from you. Take, for example, money. And there are many who believe that in having money, all will be well with them. They will have freedom. They will have flexibility. They will be able to be upwardly mobile. But Mammon is a harsh god that convinces us that when we have it, we are in control. And while in too many instances, we forget that it is money that requires our very body and soul as payment. There are many who have believed that having mammon or money provides them with opportunity to be the master, but fail to see that it is money that holds them captive. And to the extent that you would disagree, let me ask you a simple question. Have you ever worried about money? Have you ever wanted more money? And the answer of whether or not Mammon is in control of you ought to be easy to see. Do you worry? Ever? Why? The simplest answer is that we do not trust God. No, you may say, I trust God, fine, I try hard. That's what God wants to see, is me trying. I trust him, just not all the time. Dear Christian, this text is not about who you trust more. And as a matter of fact, this text is not even advising us who to trust in. The fact is this, that no other has carried the burden of your sin and your death. No other God than Christ has died that you might live. No other God has risen that you might rise from the dead eternally. And no other God provides for you like Christ Jesus still does and will until the very end of time. Our Lord Jesus is not laying down blueprints for what the Christian life is to look like. He is laying down the truth that I and you in our sin cannot bear. He is saying to us and revealing to the disciples and to us today that you and I are enslaved to a taskmaster that we cannot control or understand if we are enslaved to mammon, which we most certainly are. We are at any given point in our lives and from hour to hour and day to day subject to forces beyond our control. I know you, like I, want to be in control. But when cancer rages and ravages without asking you questions or your permission, or when other sinners' burdens come to you and give you problems, if that's not enough, take account of the toll that you have taken on the lives of others. The Lord is not giving us blueprints, dear Christians. And he is not saying that as we go further on into the text, as we consider the lilies or the sparrows, he's not saying be like the lilies and sparrows. Why would the Lord God convince us to be idolaters? He is saying, look what I have done for them. See me and how gracious I have been to them in the least of these things. Today, Jesus reveals two things. As Jesus invites us to consider the lilies and the birds, and even King Solomon, and I'm not sure, maybe you know, Pastor, whether it's King Solomon in all of his splendor or before he or as he was falling into what he was falling into as he fell from glory and grace. But as we consider the lilies and the birds, Jesus is not saying, be like them. But he is saying really this: you and I have failed to consider them. You and I have failed to consider that even the least of creation has been given the very gifts of God. And if those who are the least have received even the smallest things, the great thing that we are reminded is that Christ did not die for the lilies or for the birds. He died and rose again for you. Take consideration of them and understand that those who have the simplest needs have been met, and so they shall be for you. And there is a second thing that Jesus teaches us, that we, in our failure to consider these things, we have begun to worry, we have begun to tarry on our way, to discount that God has and will continue to provide for all of our needs. O you of little faith, so quick to worship the creation over the Creator. Who of you by worry? I liked how the text actually said it in our reading that the vicar gave us. Who can add even an hour to their life by worry? By scurrying to gather the things that we think that we need for this body of life. Who of you can manage to provide rain on the just and the unjust? Tell me if you know. Turn from your fruitless worship of the creation and your worship of gods that cannot provide that which they promise and ultimately will require the payment of your soul and your life. And turn from your dependence and worship of the false gods of your imagination, for there is nothing that you can do that can add one moment to your life. And see instead how it is that the Lord is gentle to you and to me. For as he comments to you and the disciples about little faith, remember this: if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. That doesn't mean you're going to learn to fly. But it does mean that there is nothing in this world that can harm you. Dear Christian, the triune God has not forgotten the birds that do not sow nor reap. He has not forgotten the lilies that neither toil nor spin. He provides all that is required of you, and he clothes you and feeds you as he does the lilies and the birds and even all of the wicked people in this world. He who has provided the lesser things is also the one who has provided you the greater things. And to God who has raised you, who has given you stature, who has raised you to new life, he has transformed you through baptism from the enemy of God to a child of God, the God who has carried your burdens to the cross and put them to death with him, has provided you with the greatest good. How much more will he not clothe you? What shall we render to the Lord for all of his benefits to us? We offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. We sacrifice our idols and false gods and mammon at the foot of the cross, for they cannot provide what they promise. We sacrifice our false gods on the altar where our repentance is spoken and heard, and we who have deserved only eternal death as we have come to this place today are sent away forgiven. Given the very life and salvation that we could not merit. You have received more than a cubit to your stature. By the life and work of Christ, the one true God, you are given gifts that cannot be taken. For not only have you been clothed in the finery that you wear this day, you have been clothed in the very righteousness of Christ your God. And you have been given a name that is above all names, and a stature that is beyond all measure. These things are most certainly true. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds ever in Him. Amen.